Hi, everybody. Welcome to the After Further Review podcast. I'm Pete Doherty, along with Eric Baranchek. It's our weekly mini podcast talking about our column that I just finished writing that we collaborate on, going over the Packers' previous game and the videotape of it. And this time it's a Packers really tight overtime win, 27-24 over the New England Patriots, who were playing their basically played almost the whole game with their third string quarterback. And to that end, Eric, this a lot of talk about an ugly win. I'm just wondering, what do you make of that? What are there ugly wins? What does ugly mean to you?
I like ugly wins. I mean, I think that, first of all, anybody who knows me, and you guys, we've talked about this 100 times, and I think a lot of people understand, I love the ground game. I love the grounded pound. I love running the football. And when you're going to run the football, you're going to have a lot of closer games. And it's going to make for a little bit more of, in my opinion, an exciting game. Some people want to see touchdowns. I like to see tackles. I like to see guys blocking. I enjoy watching blocking schemes. And was it an ugly win? I don't know. I think when you look back in December and you look back and you got 10 W's and 2 L's, I don't think there's – no one says wants to go and look at what the scores are. It's you won. And especially when you get into January and you get postseason, it doesn't matter. Like last year's game, when you look at the playoff game against the 49ers, was anybody criticizing the 49ers about being an ugly game? No. You got to win. You're going to the NFC Championship game. That's great. And quite frankly, looking at it, I thought it was a tremendous growing experience for the offense because they can run the ball and they can control a game on the ground. And that is 100% fact at this point in time. You got to look at the Packers. They're a running team, and they're going through some growing pains with some of those young fellas. You know, you had the fumble there by Dobbs, and Dobbs catching dropping that touchdown pass. So those two plays don't happen. Is it an ugly game? That's not from you and I to determine. I probably most of the people would say it was a better game because they won by more than 3 points.
Yeah, you get up ahead. You get ahead 2 scores against a third string quarterback. The game is over. So that, and that pick six was huge. It's huge too. It's funny you mentioned the 49ers last year, and that's what I led the column off with. I didn't realize this till going back and look. They were like at one point they were, I think maybe 2-4. I mean, they really struggled out of the gate. You know, it wasn't so much that their wins were close as that they lost a lot of games. They were 10-7.
Yeah, well, they lost an ugly game to the Packers earlier last year too, if you remember, there in San Francisco.
Yeah.
I like it. I think there's some improvement there that you saw some growing pains. I think that all of this stuff is going to be good when we get down to December and January, that this is all of this that's happening right now is going to be really good for Green Bay and their offense.
Yeah, this is who they are. They're still going to need, we talked about this. They're going to need those two rookie receivers to be, noticeably better players in 2 or 3 months than they are now. Cause there's going to be some teams that are going to be able to force them, that'll be good enough to force them to throw the ball. But, this is who they are, right? A run first team. And the difference between them and the 49ers last year is, Aaron Rodgers and Jimmy Garoppolo.
Well, without a doubt. And, I guess the progression that Dobbs is making is, you saw some stuff happen that he is learning. He wasn't doing in the preseason that they're doing better at. For this team to take the next step in the passing game, he has to continue to develop. And more importantly, Christian Watson has to be able to catch the ball downfield instead of just getting it handed to him. That is going to change it. And one thing that nobody on that team does very well is get off the line of scrimmage. They really, we were all spoiled being able to watch how masterful Devontae Adams is. He's not a speed burner. He's not one of those guys, but man, can he get off the line of scrimmage with his footwork. And those guys, all of those guys have to get better at it. And really what I think in the passing game that I took away from in the game on Sunday was the tight end is going to play a bigger part. I think he just, the way he hit that seam and went up and got that ball, I think Rodgers realizes now that, the old adage of your tight end is your friend is going to be there. So I expect, for the coming weeks for him to really get more action in the passing game and start seeing him instead of just running out into the hook curl zone or to the flats, of him getting some plays downfield, especially if they're going to sit in those two deep zones.
Yeah. So sorry about that crashing sound. That was Albert dropped his bone. So I don't know if you heard that or not.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. it's funny. We were just in talking about the Dobbs. I thought you brought up a great point that I didn't appreciate in the moment, comparing him to Watson. Watson had that deep ball over the top and he just was flailing and had no chance at catching it. Where Dobbs, that back shoulder throw, he played that kind of like a vet. Once you pointed it out, you look, they're at the 13. It's that 13-yard touchdown throw. They're at the 13. Rodgers throws the ball when Dobbs is at about the 9. Dobbs keeps running hard, keeps running downfield, doesn't turn his shoulders. And then at the last second, he turns and catches the ball. So the DB had no clue the ball was coming. Where Watson tried to catch a deep ball, he's, bending back, leaning back instead of turning to the field. And he just looked like he was just flailing for the ball.
Yeah, that was one of the most odd plays I've seen from a professional receiver in a long time. The way that he kind of like leaned backwards. I mean, it just didn't look right. When you looked how smooth Dobbs was, that ball was out at the 9-yard line and he continued to run for another 7 yards hard with his shoulders upfield, pushing upfield, and then planted his feet at the 2-yard line, turned and grabbed the ball. That's the stuff it's really difficult for a D-back, especially with a guy who's got a little bit of speed, because you want to stay over the top of him. You want to squeeze him to the sideline. And all of a sudden you're trying to do all of that stuff and you're watching him. Your eyes are on him and you're waiting for him to turn his head or put his hands up. And he just did it all at the last second, where a lot of young guys or guys who aren't very good, you see them kind of, they give the ball away, they turn their head, their eyes get big, they put their hands up too early, and then the defenders got a chance to turn around and go get back into the play.
Yeah.
And that was really good. And then of course you saw what Christian Watson did. So that was poor. I think with him, until he really starts getting comfortable at this level, he's got it. I think they should do slants. I think they should do just little moves like that, or try to get him open and play action pass, or even put him in motion. You saw him; they had the play that they missed him in the flat. They had a bad pass over his head, but you saw them understanding that they got to get the ball in his hands, because he's the most other than Aaron Jones, he's the most explosive player, certainly the most explosive player on the perimeter. He just about broke the sound barrier when he running that 15 yard end around or jet sweep. That's great. And that's awesome. And that keeps teams defenses honest, but for them, he's got to rip the top off of that defense and get some stuff downfield.
Yeah. They're using him more like how they use Valdez Scantling, just trying to stretch defenses. We got to switch up subjects real quick here. We're running a little low on time. So the run defense, they gave up a lot of yards. I think it was 150 some to the Patriots. And the thing that stood out to me about it was you're playing a third string quarterback, so a rookie. So you know they're going to run the ball. In the second half there, they had a series and a half where they had a sixth offensive lineman on the field as a tight end. And the Patriots still ran the ball right down their throat. And we talked a lot about several things that the Packers, that Joe Barry can do to improve their run defense. Let's go over a couple of them real quick. The first one, so we're talking basically Walker, really good sideline to sideline, really good pass coverage, making tackles in front of him, quick breaking on the ball and making the tackle right away. But a liability, it runs between the tackles.
Liability. He's terrible.
Is that an understatement? Yeah.
Yeah. So, come on. He's got to be more physical. If they're going to stop the run, the first thing that they can do to stop the run is he's got to be more physical. He's got to be more physical at the point of attack. He's got to press the line of scrimmage. That's number one. Number two is they got to do a better job of protecting him. So they may have to bring in some, you know, that Ford, that gentleman is one big human being.
Ford, yep, seventh round draft pick. I looked, he's 330 something pounds.
Get him in a gap. Put him in a gap. Figure out what a gap you want him in, either the strong side to the tight end or away from it, maybe away from it, or head up and just be in play a zero when they're in their base, or a two eye when they're going to be in their nickel, and just let him take up space and don't give up any ground. That way, there's no one that could pick him off, so he can has kind of free reign back there. If he doesn't want to take on a block, then let's not give him any blocks to take on. Yeah. Just let him move around and go get the ball.
That would require not activating Devontae Wyatt, you know, in games where you think they're going to run the ball to activate Ford. Okay. Wyatt would be the guy to sit, but Wyatt's been a liability against the run too. Almost every run play he only played five snaps, and almost every run play he was out there, even on single block, he was getting pushed back from what I saw.
He's just not very aggressive or not very physical up front. You know, and the sad part is they got Reed that's pretty physical and does a really nice job. He's been in the league for a little while, so he gets it. He understands leverage. That's the one thing that Wyatt just doesn't. He hasn't figured out leverage yet. You look at Kenny Clark, a little bit more of a sawed off. He's not as tall. He's got big, strong hands, and he's got heavy hands. And, you know, when he gets his hands on you, there's an impact there. And he's good on not getting double teamed, or when he does get double teamed, not getting, you know, driven downfield. So they need to figure that out a little bit. Maybe they need to do some different personnel groupings, or they have to change up what their schemes are and two man up front. So you're going to line up, head up, and just be an ugger and take up space so that there's more room for those linebackers to scrape. Cause right now, sometimes, and that was perplexing, is as good as they played against Tampa Bay, I guess what that really told us is Tampa Bay's offensive line really stinks.
Probably on the money there.
Compared to New England, I mean, those guys, I don't think there was a heck of a lot of guys there that are you know, people are beating the drums that they're awesome, but man, did they just, their technique was solid. They got caught, you know, the Packers got caught up in that power running game and just did not have an answer for anything that was a cutback inside. It just was brutal.
Yeah. Real quick. What are a couple scheme things that they can do aside from personnel? LaFleur mentioned in his press conference today, just not playing as much too deep shell. What other things, you know, bringing a safety up instead? What are a couple things that come to mind for you?
They brought Ford up, I thought, fairly in quite a bit. They can try running because they're a little bit of, you know, they're a little gun shy against the pass. So they can try, you know, they did a little bit of that, what I call the heavy nickel. So they got a base front with one linebacker. I think they can try moving a little bit. Like maybe they can try doing some slants, you know, if they get a feel for what teams are going to do, if they're going to run to the tight end, away from the tight end, or two motion, away from motion, all those things. I mean, those geeks can get it all broken down into, you know, what you're going to do on every given formation. And they can try and do some guesswork there and just get those guys moving. So the offensive linemen don't just have a bead on the linebacker or bead on the tackle, and try and create some confusion up front. Cause the problem that they're facing is that, you know, again, they're just not as physical at the second level than they would be or have been in the past sometimes.
Yeah. You also mentioned when we talked, you know, they blitzed Walker. I didn't add up the blitzes, but they blitzed him more in this game than they had in the three previous games combined. But, you know, those are, you know, pass rush blitzes. But you talked about maybe keeping his feet moving by blitzing him on some run calls too.
Yeah, I think some run blitzes would definitely add something to the flavor, something for those guys to look at. And the nice thing about that is if you got with Preston Smith, if you're going to run blitz, you're going to make it, you're going to weaken up at some point. You're going to weaken up at the, you know, the probably B gap. So you have, I think Preston Smith is savvy enough where you can say, listen, all you're going to do is take one hard step forward, and then you're going to work contain. If contain's not there, you got to drift back in for B because you're going to have a blitzer that's going to come in. And then you have your safeties and your cornerbacks deal with contain in the alley. in that end. I think there's enough things that they can play around with, but yeah, getting Quay Walker moving towards the line of scrimmage will definitely help. Even if they want to do some stunts there, where, you know, a stunt would be if the defensive tackle is going to go, he lines up in a 2-I, so inside shoulder of the guard, and he's going to cross face and go to a B gap. And then the linebacker who's sitting back at a 30, which is be like outside shoulder of the guard, you know, at linebacker depth, you know, he cuts into A gap, things like that to get them moving up front, or get Quay Walker moving up front and do something to create some confusion on the offensive line, so they're not just at a beat on them and just teeing off on them play after play after play.
Yeah. Interesting stuff. And this will be a game to watch for all that stuff. They're playing New York Giants this week, in London, of course, but the Giants have Saquon Barkley and they are going to run the football. So, we'll see what adjustments Joe Barry makes. And Eric, this is going to have to do it. Our time is up. But I want to thank everybody for joining me and Eric here at the After Further Review podcast. And hope everybody has a good week. We'll be back here again next Tuesday morning, talking about how things went in London. Until then, take care, everybody. This has been the After Further Review podcast.